This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Besachat Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Gimel, and we are holding on the Hilika Mishnah, Nun Beit, Amud Beit, and that Mishnah is actually the continuation of the end of the Mishnah, which really should have been part of this Mishnah, which discusses the difference between an Avodat Kochavim and an Oved Kochavim, and an Avodat Kochavim of Yisrael. So there we have the Machloket, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, about whether the Yisroel's is indeed Eno Asurat Shle Aved, and they go Goyis becomes Asur Miyad, or whether it's vice versa. Our Mishnah represented the first opinion, which is Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah here continues now with the question of Bittul, as opposed to the original Asiyah. So a goy can be mevatel not only his personal avodah zarah, that means personal both in terms of ownership, personal in terms of the type of religion it is. He can also be mevatel any other religious icon, even though he doesn't particularly give any significance to it. So he can be mevatel any avodat kochavim as long as it belongs to a goy. A Yisrael, well, we know Yisrael certainly can't be Mevatel his own, because nobody can be Mevatel Yisrael's. Once it's Osir Olamit. But he cannot even be Mevatel an Avodat Kochavim of an Oved Kochavim either. A Mevatel Avodat Kochavim, if you were Mevatel the actual idol, so then Mevatel Misham Sheha. Then anything that had been made Lechvod the idol is by definition secondary to the idol itself. Bitel Misham Sheha, but if you were Mevatel some of the things that were used for it, so then that's the only thing you were mevatel, but the idol itself remains asura, so mishamshin mutarim, vihi asura. Anyway, Rebbe was teaching this Mishnah over to his son, Rebbe Shimon. So matni le Rebbe, le Rebbe Shimon Berei. Rebbe was teaching this to his son, Reb Shimon, who asked him, and he used the language here, Oved Kochavim, Mevatel Avodat Kochavim, Shalo v'shal chaviro. Omar le, so he told him, Dad, he didn't call him Dad, he called him Rebbe. Rebbe, shanita lanu beyaldutcha. When you were younger, you used to teach this Mishnah to us like this. Oved Kochavim Mevatel Avodat Kochavim Shalo V'Shal Yisrael. He used to say that an Oved Kochavim can be Mevatel even the Avodat Kochavim of a Jew. Huh? This is my way. He could never have said that. Yisrael, Mika Mevatel. I thought we learned that from Visamba Sater. We just discussed yesterday that that is an absolute Isser that requires, means that it always needs Gnizah. There's no alternative. How could he have thought that he taught that? Omer Avihel, Bereda Rivala, that's not what we're talking about. What it meant was that Rebbe had originally taught him that if it was Shalom Vishal Yisrael, meaning together, they had a shutafut, that then the Akum could be Mavatel the entire thing. Now Rebbe obviously no longer believed that, which is why he didn't put it that way. And Rebbe Shimon, his son, was asking him. And the truth is, the difference is, what did Rebbe used to think when he was younger? And what did he come to understand later? Initially, he believed that a Jew who makes a shutafut in some religious object is basically making something of a political decision. If a goy does it, I'll do it. But by definition, it's all dependent on the das of the goy. The moment that the goy himself is mevatel it, the Jew is not going to look at it seriously. So because of that, since the Yisrael adaita Ovid Kochavim Polach, kimen Ovid Kochavim mevatel the nafshe. Once the Ovid Kochavim cancels out his own belief in this thing, so then by definition, the Yisrael is not mevatel. Whereas Beziknuto, as he got older, he realized, if only it were. And that actually Yisrael is adaited in afshe polach. They figured even better ways of worshipping idols. And therefore, ki mevatel oved kochavim den afshe. The oved kochavim would only be mevatel his own, the Yisrael lo batel. But the part that belongs to Yisrael is indeed a typical, even though it only represents a certain percentage, that part is an oved, an akum of a Yisrael, and will never be batel. Now, that is the way that we just learned Rabbi Hilbert and Rabbi Valas. The truth is that there are others who understood Rabbi Hilbert and Rabbi Valas to be a reference to the Mishnah here on the Seifa. Ike dematila Seifa. The Mishnah says here, Yisrael, eino mevatel avodat kochavim shel oved kochavim. So we ask there, isn't that pshita? Where in the world, I mean, there never was a remez anywhere that Yisrael would be able to do that. If anything, the hakadah that the Torah had on the destruction of Avodah Zarah made it clear that there were no such options. You can't just walk in and say, okay, it's no problem, I hereby dub the fish instead of dagon. You can't do that. So apparently, I mean, what? Where in the pasuk would I have been led to believe that he could? Rabbi Hillel, they understood the Rabbi Elberator, Rabbi Valas applied the din that we just thought he was talking about. Rabbi the Yalduto, that wasn't it. He said that that is what the Seifa is being mechadish in the Mishnah. That even though lo nitzcho, the whole chiddush over here is ela sheyesh lo kvar shutafut, I might have thought, since he has a shutafut in this icon with the goy, so on that point he would be able to make it batel, and therefore, kamash balan, Yisrael hu delo mevatel, the oved kochavim. The chiddush isn't that the Jew can't be mevatel. The chiddush is that I would have thought that even the Ovid Kochovim cannot be mevatel because of the shno, his own chelek, because the shutafut of the Yisrael. Kamash malan that an Ovid Kochovim nonetheless can be mevatel his own chelek. We don't say that in the same way that the Jew's chelek is not batel, so therefore the goy's chelek also wouldn't be batel because this is more chomer. And there's those who learned Rabbi Elber, Rabbi Wallis on yet another thing, which was a braita, and that goes as follows. That, let me just find my place over here. Ikadamati la braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Avodat kochavim shal Yisrael ein la betela olamit. Now that word olamit doesn't seem to mean anything. I mean, if ein la betela, ein la betela. I mean, obviously, what particular point does that statement no longer apply? What didn't you understand about it? That you needed to add olamit. So my olamit. Yeah, well, I mean, if you can't be mevatel, you can't be mevatel. That's all you need to say. Ela, it's like a fatal stabbing. I mean, a fatal murder, what they use all the time. You know? It's a fatal murder. So, my olamit, Omer Rav Hillel, Bereid Rav Valas, Onitzchol, Sheyeshlo, Lo, Vekachom, Vashutafut. What I'm saying is, under any circumstances, and it's teaching us indeed that Yisrael adaited an Afshe Polak. When the Jew is worshiping, he's not worshiping it because of the chelek of the Shutafut with the Yaakov. He's got his own ideas about how to screw up the world. Continues the Elohim Mishnah. Ketzad Mivatla. How would he go about now being Mavatla? Of course, these are all issues that we've seen from so many angles previously. We're finally getting to the place where we discuss primary ideas. Kata. So what he could do is he could be Kata. Rosh Ozna, Rosh Chotba, he cut off a little bit of the ear, a little bit of the nose, like everybody loves to do to the porky dolls. Here's a proof that it's not enough of Zora. The latest, right, the latest from idea. Yes, people actually do this. Yes. Poor Barbie. Rosh Ozna, Rosh Chotma, Rosh Etzba'a, or a finger or something, or for that matter, Chasa, smash it in, Ava Pishalo Chisra, even though you didn't take off any of it, Bitwa. But if you were rak bifanei, you spit in its face, or you urinate in its face, ishtin bifanei, or drag it through the mud, garra, or throw tsoa on it, zorak bata tsoa, that's just an expression of pique. It's not anger. It's not that he's being mavatal. It's just you need to put God in his place. So then harezo ein abatela. That is not mavatal. How about if he sells it, or if he pawns it? Make you pawn a God. Machra o mishkena. Rebbe omer bitel, v'chachamim omrim lo bitel. And we'll see what the base of that might be. Now, wait a minute. If I understand you're telling me that if you cut off a piece of it, that's is sort of permanent. But pichasa. I mean, isn't that, because sometimes you bash it in. I mean, that's like spitting at it. I mean, it didn't really take away any of it, so why would that be sufficient to be mamatal? But might be tla. Omer Rabbi Zera, it's talking about pechasa b'fanea, you smashed its face in. So there is a loss. There could be a loss of a finger. There could be a loss of a tsura. So even though the thing is there, but it's not a face anymore. So because of that, it's actual bittul. Now, how do we know that spitting or urinating on an icon is not enough to be saying, I no longer believe in you? You know what I mean, like? Look, it's a pasuk, you know? The pasuk talks about an acum in extremis. So it says, and comes along now the great hunger, vayakir av. And now the worshippers are seeing that God is singularly unresponsive. They begin to suspect that something is wrong. Veit katsaf, he gets mad. Vekilel b'malko ubelohav, and he curses King and God. Ufana l'mala, and then he turns at last his face to the heavens to search for truth. It don't mean a damn thing. Look at the next pasuk. Ve'al eretz yabit. He's back to his old tricks. Back down with his eyes down to the ground. V'neit sarav v'chashecha. Things are just as limited and dark as they always were. And therefore it teaches you. Afal gav dekilel mako ve'elohav. Though cursing king and God, and though having faced above for a moment, nonetheless, as soon as the crisis passes, el eretz yabit. So here too, he may piss on God, but the bottom line is, you're back to your own projections the next morning. Michara o mishkena, Rebbe Omer Bitel. So here's a question between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, were you mevatel your icon by pawning it, or by selling it? So the Iri Amar Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand, and Rabbi Yochanan Barava Amar Rav on the other, said different approaches to the machlokas of Rabbi Rabbanan. Chad Amar, machlokas b'tzoreif akum. One man the Amar says, look, this whole machlokas about whether you're mevatel when you sold an icon is only where you sold it to a non-Jewish, I mean, even if he's a metal worker, it sort of doesn't mean only a metal worker, but even a metal worker who's in the habit of buying junk, melting it down, making new things. So there the question is, if you sell it to a junk dealer, basically, I mean, if he's a goy, does that mean that you meant you view it as junk, or does it mean that you assume that the junk dealer will rescue it, you know, and sell it for an avodah zarah, not he's going to melt it out? But if it was b'tzoreif Yisrael, and he sells it to a Jew, he knows that he's basically consigning it to the trash compactor. So then obviously, yeah. So then obviously he doesn't care about it anymore. How could he sell it to the accursed Jew if he thought it was a god? And one of them said, and we're not sure who said what, whether it was Rav was quoted this way, or it was Rabbi Yochanan, but one said that, no, actually, but Tzoref Yisrael Machloket, they're arguing about a Jewish Tzoref. What do you mean? What does that mean? Do you mean, Ibailu, you mean B'tzoref Yisrael Machloket, but everybody agrees by Tzoref Akum that for sure he was not Mavat, or you're saying even a Tzoref Yisrael is Machloket? You're not making yourself very clear. So Ibailu, what did that mean? B'tzoref Yisrael Machloket, Abo Tzoref Akum Divrei HaKol Lo Bitel? In other words, everybody's agreed that he assumes that if he sells it to a Goyesha, junk dealer, he's certainly not going to crush Jesus into the trash compactor. That is rather graphic. Oh, Dilma, bein bezeh machloket. Or maybe what he's saying is even a goy. But it still would be a machloket about Israel. Well, let's bring a riot to that. Toshma. The Omar Rebbe, Rebbe says, look, this is the way we understand it now. Now, it's going to turn out this is not what he's saying. But at this point, the Gemara thinks that the following braita means, Omar Rebbe, look, both I and the Rabbanan are locked into Ashitos. I was makabel that this is the din. They were makabel the opposite was the din. So, but the truth is, we argue across the board whether it's a Yisrael or whether it's an Akum. Nonetheless, I must admit that what I'm saying makes more sense. Nirin dvarai kishemachra lachavala. Makes more sense to say that it was bavatalit if he's selling it to a place that's going to put it into the compactor. But I have to admit that the Rabbanan make more sense when it's being sold la'ovda. Now, when you say la'chavala and la'ovda, I mean, you can't mean literally to the trash compactor or to the church. I mean, how could they be arguing across the board? But somebody will hold if you sell a statue to a church, so then it means you no longer believe in it? I mean, well, why would we think that? And somebody holds that if you sell an icon to a junk dealer where it's being melted down in front of you, that he does believe in it? I mean, so it can't mean literally what it's saying. Maila chavala, maila ovda. Ilay maila chavala, meaning literally. It's being put into the furnace in a trash compact. And ovda means ovda mamash, being put into the church for further worship. So then, I mean, that's ridiculous. My time the man demer bitel, my time the man demer lo bitel. I mean, how could anybody argue in the alternative case that it wouldn't mean like the alternative shita? Obviously, Rebbe is right if he's going to throw it into a fire. And obviously, the Rabbanan are right if he's going to put it into the church. Therefore, it must mean that the meaning of the words, l'chavala, l'ovda, does not mean literally, it means, elalav lekavalam means into the hands of one who's probably going to end up ruining it, meaning the Jew. Lemishatid lekavalam, umanu, soref Yisrael. And laovdan means into the hands of one who's probably going to rescue it for further worship. Lemishatid laovdan, and that would be the soref akum. But since Rebbe is commenting on which one makes more sense where, it seems pretty clear that bein bezeh machloket, right? This sort of seems to seal it. There's no way that if Rebbe's making this comment that the argument wasn't across the board. Says Imar, no. Maybe you misunderstood what Rebbe meant over here. Hachikama. Rebbe might have been saying the other shita, that there is no machloket when it comes to Tzoref Yisrael. He might be saying like this. Omar Rebbe, nir'in devarai, meaning everybody agrees to what I am saying. Even lechaverai, my friends also are ready to come along with me. Kisha machra lechavalah, if it were sold to a place that's going to wreck it. And who would that mean? A Jewish junk dealer. A Tzoref Yisrael, because after all, af chaverai lo nech leku alai. I mean, even the Rabbanan never disagreed with me, other than in the case, ele kisha machra lo avdah, if they were being sold to a goy. So then the Rabbanan held that the guy figures, well, the junk dealer will probably make sure it ends up in a church. Ava l'chavala moduli. They would be moded to mean l'chavala. If that's what Rebbe meant, then of course it doesn't mean at all like the second shita. He's going back to the first shita. We can't identify those shitas by their names because we don't know. We only chadamar, chadamar. But whatever. One was Rav and one was Rebbe Yochanan. Made it. Halokeach grutati, we got a problem. It says somebody buys now a truckload of junk from an akum. And in the truckload of junk, guess what he finds? A junked yoshka. Cool. Now what's he gonna do? I mean, he doesn't want this thing. So now he really would like to just give it back and say he never meant to buy this. So imat shalom natan ma'ot mashach, if he hadn't yet paid for it, since the whole thing is obviously in error, he never would have bought a yoshka. So he could just give it back and say I'm not taking really delivery. I'm not going to pay it. The whole thing it was mistaken delivery. But imish natan ma'ot mashach. But if obviously if they could always buy it again without it. But if he already paid, then it's no good because then it looks like he's selling it back to him. And then we can't allow that. Even though obviously, technically speaking, he said, I never wanted this, I never meant it, it's a mechtot. Yeah, tell it to the Marines as far as the guy in the street is concerned. There's the Jew making money off of Yoshka again. So this doesn't make any sense because if the guy sold it to a Jew, then it's no longer an Avodah Zarah. You said, according to that approach, that if you sold it to a Jew, everybody agrees it's not an Avodah Zarah. And we got problems over here because here it's a Jew buying a truckload of junk with a yoshka in it, and therefore that statue is no longer prohibited. So what's the problem at all? So I amrit bishlama b'tzoref Yisrael machloket. You're going to tell me that we're arguing about the tzoref machloket, the tzoref Yisrael, then you could say, okay, this must be going on libet rabbanan, who hold that even though he sells it to a tzoref Yisrael, he figures the Jew's not going to melt it down, he'll probably sell it to a church for more money. But, if you're going to tell me, then this would be the Rabban. If you're going to tell me that the Machloket is only by a Tzoref Ovet Kochavim, and everybody would be motivated by a Tzoref Yisrael Divrei HaKol Bitel, then this is not going according to either Shita, not Rebbe and not the Rabbana. So how could somebody make a case for that being the Machloket? Our money? No, wait a minute. This, when we said there's no machloket if it's sold to a Tzoref Yisrael, that's not where you sell a truckload of junk that includes a yosha. That it's where you sold a statue. Over here you're selling a truckload of junk. You think this guy keeps in mind exactly what's... he's throwing whatever was in the garage. He doesn't even think about the fact that there was a yosha there. He's throwing it out. He calls a junk dealer, come pick up whatever's in my garage. You can't be sure in that case that he meant to be mavato the yosha. Whatever you took out, you took out. And maybe in Achinami, if the guy would have sold him a statue, then absolutely, it would have been mutter. So you can't bring a riot from here.
It would have been mutter.
Because it's mavutal, perhaps. So shiny hatam da daite de gruta ot zavini. He's only selling a pile of junk. He was never thinking about a daite da vodat kochavim. Lo zavini didn't sell it on that base. Tanurabana. The Braita says a number of different cases. For instance, lava aleha, you pawned God. Or poor God got stuck in a mudslide, and now he's under, you know, three stories of mud, like in Mexico last week. Or the banditas got away with the local yoshka. Or for that matter, the people moved overseas and left it behind. Well, you know what, in any of these things. Imatidim lachzor. If their intent was to come back home, like the Milchemet Yehoshua, right? So these guys went out. They may not have taken every church along with them, but they figured they'd beat the Jews and come back home. Okay, so therefore, when the Jews arrive, they have to be mavatalit, because these guys didn't leave their statues behind. They were going to return, they thought. So then it's not Batela. And by the way, we need all of these cases. Because let's say we only would have said if you pawned God, that it's not bought. It's okay, because the guy figures, all right, you know, Imay Anoichi Betzora. You know, God also should suffer along with me a little bit. I mean, but I didn't sell him. You know, I'm going to come back one day and buy him back. So therefore, it's not bought. But I mean, if it gets stuck under a mudslide, Nofla le'amapolet, I mean, the Milokam Afanilov, the guy doesn't go and hire a bulldozer to get his God out from under there. Maybe that's a sure sign that he's given up on God. Ema betule batla. So therefore, I need that case. Suppose it would have then said that case. If it would have said Nofla le'amapolet, I would have said the guy figures, okay, you know, Jesus can handle a little bit dark, you know. So he'll be under there for a couple of decades. One day someone will come and get him out, you know. Yeah, exactly. So he'll be resurrected. So Mishum de Sofer Hamanchas. Look, he's lying there called Ema de Beina La Shakil Nala. I can always get it back when I get the money together for a dig. But Ganvuali Steam, the banditas made away with Yoshka. I mean, Benaloka Mahara Batraf, he didn't get a posse together. Obviously, he doesn't care. So maybe over there, Betule Batla. Maybe there indeed he does the Batla. We need that case. If it said that case, it still doesn't cover all of the ground. We need to cover it because Itana Ganvuah Litzdimishim so far. Well, I mean, who would it be, the bandit that stole Jesus? I mean, if he's a goy, he's probably going to bring it to his own church. So why would it be Mavutal? After all, Yashka doesn't care whether I worship him or somebody else worships him. He'll also be Maflechlo. And if it's a Yisrael Shalakach, if a Yisrael was the Ganev, so what's he going to do? He's going to throw it out? He's going to make money off of it. So he'll sell it to the church. So either the Domea Yikarim, no matter what happens, it's going to still be my God. You ever heard that song? Nobody like my God. What do you mean? He's a realist. Every shtibel? That's already a different question. We're not going into the halacha of Yivere. The Satmar are very machmer. If you were called St. Mary, you'd probably be very machmer also.
Does it matter if it's differentiate if it's a Catholic and
yes.
Imperial?
Yes, it certainly could. There's post-Kim, yes, that are Catholic and Catholicism and obviously social religion that don't take the icons seriously or are even against icons.
So because somebody could find this thing that's significant to him. He doesn't care if he worships a Rodozara, but not this one in particular.
So no, that doesn't matter.
That's not an issue.
That doesn't matter. That we saw in the mission. He didn't even matter to any of us. This one in particular.
Nobody who wants to make money from it.
Well, I mean, it only takes a little snip and give him a bris milah, and now he's kosher for another one. So, in any event, we see from here that in all of these cases, that nonetheless there's always hope. But what about in a case of Yinichua Baalim, the Hochulahem, the Medina Tayam, where they just leave it behind in the attic? I mean, if they're not going to take it with them, obviously, Bituli Batlua, they must have just lost their belief. It's a crisis of faith, and they move to the desert, leaving the Lord behind. Therefore, you need to know that if the intent is ultimately to come back, even there it's not bought. Tzricha. Can you explain to me this business about Imatidim Lachzorkim Emet Yoshua? Ena Betela. What is that supposed to mean? Well, what does it have to do with Milchemet Yoshua? What, I mean, Milchemet Yoshua, what are you saying? They didn't really make it back in Milchemet Yoshua. It's a very strange reference, isn't it? Hochikom, I know what it means, is it? We're using it as a benchmark. Imatidim Lachzor, Hareyo Kemilchemet Yoshua, and Ein La Betela. See, if they intended to return, well, what happened when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael? They had to go and they had to uproot all of the Avodah Zarah? Burn it? Why? After all, the Goyim left town to fight, and that would be Bittul. So you see, it's not Bittul. I mean, come on, but you really need to benchmark it with Yeshua. I mean, it's an irrelevant piece of information. Just say it's Osir, like the other cases.
Even in the context of the one before, the first thing they did was...
Yeah, yeah, but still it's irrelevant to Melchamed Yehoshua. Lamali Lamitlaya be Melchamed Yehoshua. Why are you inserting here a reference? There's got to be meaning to this. There is indeed. Milta Agavurcha Kamash, when it's coming to teach me, Yodom Rav Yodom Rav Yisomarav Yisrael Shezokav Leveina Ishtachavotla. We had before the Sugya, a Jew sets up a brick to worship. Now, he doesn't worship it, but an Akum comes along and he worships it. There, even though normally we say, Ein Adam Osir Davar Sheino Shelo, a Goy cannot Osir the Jewish brick. But nonetheless, in this case, it's Asura. Why? Because we understand that it's al dai to the Yisrael. What's the Makar for that? Milalan de Asra. And here is where there's a reference to Melchamed Yehoshua. Amar Rabbi Elazar, look, when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, they were told that they have to uproot everything, right? Now, why is that? The fact is that it belonged to Avram Avinu. Was given to him and his children. So how could they asr the trees in Eretz Yisrael? Right? So that's Ketchila, the Eretz Yisrael. What is that? The Yomar Achmona, the Torah insists that Ashereyem tis refum beish, you have to burn down their worship trees. Now why is that? Michti. Yerusha yileem me'avotehem. The trees are part of the actual ground in Eretz Yisrael. Belongs to the Jews anyway. So, ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. And what are you going to say? Maybe it was the trees that were there from before. It was given to Avram Avinu, the older ones. So then you don't need to burn it down. You could just ask the Goyim to be mevatel it. So the whole thing doesn't really make sense. Why do we have to go on this massive search and destroy operation for every piece of junk that is left behind by the Knanim, when all we need to do is hire a kid to come along and to be mevatel everyone? So something's funny. I'll tell you what the issue is. You remember that little story about the Egel HaZahav? So once the Jews worship the Egel, clearly, they now are announcing that they approve of idolatry. Once they approve of idolatry, so now anybody that worships becomes a vicarious worshiper for the Jew. He too gets a thrill out of the fact that these idiots are bowing down to the trees. So therefore, they can now usher it. But there's your makor, that if a Yisrael is zokev leveina, then it means the very fact that he looks at this with excitement allows it to be ne'asar with the acts of the Akum. So v'chiyatu avdei kochavim, when the avdei kochavim comes now to worship, he's basically doing it in lieu of the Jew. Shlichut adidu avdei. Therefore, we can derive from there, and that's why we want to benchmark it with Milchemes Yehoshua, that was forced to destroy all the Avodah Zarah. Achinami, therefore, in our days as well. If Yisrael is zakaf leveina, so now that means Gal Yadak Tenechle be'avodat kochavim. Now he's happy. If he's happy, if the Ovid kochavim comes along with Polachle, for all intents and purposes, Shlichut adidekov, it doesn't mean literally Shlichut and Shlichledvar Avera, but he's now taking the place of the Dat Nechle of the Yisrael, and so on. I mean, I thought the ego wasn't quite, you know, the ultimate in Avodah Zarah. So, I mean, would they really have approved of every Getchka? And I mean, the fact that they did the ego doesn't really show that they're ready to go all the way, does it? So, v'dilma be'egel u'denechelu, b'midiach min alo, omakra ele elohecha. So, note the use of the plural. That means maybe they didn't have the guts to announce it. But malameid, she'ivu le'elohu tarbe. It's a slippery slope. And once infected, the infection takes over. And in fact, they really deep down were ready to worship anything. And therefore, whatever it was that the Goyim were worshiping was another titillating truth for a searching Jew. Says the Gemara, but didn't they do tshuva from that? I mean, only the trees that were extant at the time of the Egel should require this extensive slash and burn operation. Anything that was made after the Egel, we should go back to the problem of, doesn't belong to them anyway. How could they asser it? So, Ema called the Bahari Egel Nitzu, only those things at the time of the Egel should be asser. Mikan Velech Nishtrin, anything that was made after the Bais Egel, should actually be okay. Well, man muchach. I mean, who's going to prove that this tree is pedigreed bedafka after the ma'isa egel? So memela, it became a mitzvah to get rid of whatever might be asur. All kinds of questions over here, by the way, about rov, bottle, or most of the trees asur. Is there a din of kavua on a tree? Does it have to be nesa before it's kavua? A lot of interesting achrenish talk about this sugya.
It was a very small amount of people that were connected to the Egel also. It was hardly Rove.
Those are the actual worshippers.
But again, the fact that
there was some level of approval and that they got away with this thing and that people were dancing. So it's the prurient factor that's important when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Again, we don't really relate to this. We're not turned on by it. But remember that's the whole issue, the titillation. I mean, it's sort of like, I'm not into pornography, but it's okay for somebody else. But that's the znus of Avodah Zarah. So the ivu is a desire of something. Even though you may not fall into the trap, there's some sense in you that understands this kind of thing. Once that's there, then basically there's ivu lalo utarbe. Dear President, we await you.
Zok the Heilige Mishnah.
Avodat kochavim shenirchua ovdeha b'sha'at shalom. If they just walk out if it's not a time of war where they have to escape, they just leave town, leaving it behind, then it's mutarat. If it's bishat bilchama, so then we understand it was only under pressure of the emergency evacuation that they left it behind. So over there it remains asura. Bimusiot shel melachim. Now the bimus, as we'll see, are these large single stones in which they would put up a place where as the royal procession would walk by, drive by, they would put up in honor of the king a local god, and the king, like Obama going into church, would do his little thing and everybody would cheer and clap. They'd get some photo ops and put it on the internet, and then they'd move on and then they'd dismantle it. So these are the bimos. Oh, they're basically temporary, and they're mutarot. They put it up only for PR purposes as the king goes by. And we'll see really what the issue is. Is it that it's for PR? Is it that it's temporary? Or is it that it's only prepared but not necessarily used? Well, we'll discuss it in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Ava, Amar Rav, Beit Nimrod, Reu Kavadat Kochavim Shinduchu Avodeha, B'Sha'at Shalom, Umutar, because Afa Gavdechi Badrinu, Rachmona Keshat Milchama Dami, Iboy Lamahadar Hadar, Amidolo Hadar, Bitule Batla. Very relevant to our week's parsha, as we head towards the Dor HaFlaga, and there they build this great Migdal, and that's Beit Nimrod. The fact is that when the Torah, remember, Rachmana is a ridiculous translation of into Torah, people use it because they refuse to acknowledge that God is our lover, so they want to say the lover, they say the Torah. But even when the Beloved was threw them out, Vayafetz Hashem Otam, he threw them out, Al Pnei Kol HaAdamah, get them out of here, Kol HaAretz, that's Bishat Milchama. But how come they never made it back? So they never made it back because they realized that it's just absurd. Why would they bother going back? They themselves end up seeing it as just a silly little thing that they did. And therefore, ultimately, they were Mavatala. So if you want to take a tour, it's okay. You can now pay for tours of Migdal Bavel. Why? Because the Malachim Ovrim. So what? I understand. If these are real churches, so why, just because they're put up for the benefit of the king's public worship, does that make them mutter? It means that it's all preparatory. Nobody knows that this is going to present a photo op. They're hoping it'll present a photo op. So they're mamidimota, but in the end, the Malachim end up taking a different route, either because of terrorist traffic or the whole thing was a ruse in the first place just to get people out of the way. But I mean, so therefore, when they priests put it up, they don't really put their hearts in it. They realize it's just a possible photo op. So because of that, Malachim manichin derech zu, volchim derech acheret, and therefore, it isn't really taken all that seriously. Some of them shouldn't compare it to the Arai case, Mishamshim Arayim, that we spoke about earlier, and therefore it's really not such a problem. Right, yeah, that's a very good example, as we saw. Now, the idea of a bimus, it isn't even clear what it is. The Gemara is going to clarify that now. Kiata Ulan. Ulan once came on into town, and interestingly enough, he sat on a bimus. And this bimus was broken. It had a little rock that had been busted out, and he sits down on it and has a little chance to relax. Amar le Rabbi Yudal, Ula, how could you do this? V'Rav Shmuel d'Amri Tarvayu. Both Rav and Shmuel said that a bimus, even if it's got something broken on it, it's not like a broken idol. It's still usher. It doesn't mean that they left it just because it has a hole in it. Even if you say that when it comes to the icon itself, if it's broken, nobody would be over it to peace. That's only the actual icon. Because, you know, it's zila be'milta lemiflach l'shvar. I mean, over there, it's like too low class to continue to bow down to a broken arm, you know? Okay, so over there, they won't do it. But to use a broken bima? Leichpatle. So they're never mavatel, the mishamshim, that just because they're broken. So how could you do that? I leichpatle. Omar lehu. So Ula said to the gentleman, I really don't mean to cast aspersions in any way on the psak of Rav Shmuel. Man yoev la mi afra the Rav Shmuel umal inan einaynin. If only we had the dust even of Rav Shmuel to fill our eyes with light and understand their Torah. But what can you do? You got to paskin like the local Orthodox rabbis. As far as I know, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that's not true. That a bimut shenifgam is mutter. As a matter of fact, they say the other way around. Even the Mandiomar who hold that they will continue to worship the broken piece of the cross. So they will be Ovid Lishvarim. That's Dafka the Avodat Kochavim itself. Because over there, having once worshipped it, it now looks very cheapo to give up on. I mean, what does that make you look like all these years? You know, you mean just because the cross now is broken, I can no longer worship. So what does that say about all that I invested in all my life?
I was only kidding.
They're not gonna let go, you see, having invested so much. So it's too cheap. They're not gonna cheapen everything they've done. But when it comes to the Mishamshim, I mean, why would, if it's broken, buy a new one, throw the old one out. So Hani Shakti Lahayu might be Bimus Achrina, they'll throw out the old Bimus, they'll bring a new Bimus. Therefore, it's the exact opposite of what you're saying. The more the investment into the holiness of the thing, the more likely they are to hold on to that investment. The less the investment, the less likely they are. And that, you can see how this relates beautifully to our Mishnah. The priests were not going to invest, and therefore doesn't retain any holiness. Tanya Kavati to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Indeed, there's a Braita that says that. And the Braita is even, interestingly enough, is even more sophisticated in the shadings of investment. Because there's a bimus, but then there's an altar, and then there's the idol. Those are different levels of investments, right? So over there, the Braita says, a bimus shenifgam, that's mutar. A mizbeach shenifgam. But if the altar itself is nifgam, it's asur unless it's inatets rubo. Okay, so now, what defines, by the way, the difference between a bimus and a mizbeach? Hechidami bimus, hechidami mizbeach. Omer Yaakov, Omer Yochanan, a bimus is one heaven. A mizbeach is something that they built. It's Avonim Harbe. Omer Chizkiah, you see that from the Pasuk, actually. The Pasuk says, Lachain bezot yechupar Avon Yaakov. What would now take away the stain of the Avodah Zarah? Dafka b'sumo kol avnei mizbeach ke'avnei gir menupatzot. Then lo yakumu asherim v'chamanim. If all of these pieces of the mizbeach are like little broken stones of gir. Rashi says here gir means, strangely enough, kfor. In other words, small piece of hailstone. Gir is taken by most in the modern Hebrew to mean chalk, calcite, which breaks very easily. But the point is, He got a lot of stones, then it has to be mostly broken. Then lo yakumu asherim v'chamanim, and they no longer have any kedusha. But ilav, if it's not totally broken, so then yakumu, then they will continue to worship. So basically, what you see from here is indeed that the deeper your investment, the more difficult it is to let go. And that's the idea that the thing which characterizes fundamentalism is that it's impervious a fact. Because you've already invested too much. So seeing now, you know, your getchka in pieces, that's going to dissuade you. You know, I always thought that that's the issue of the Meragla. As your world comes to an end, you invest much more to maintain it. Meragla. In other words, at any point where you know that this is ending, you see your paradigm no longer is effective. So in the Midbar, they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal make fun of it. Well, they're going to lose their jobs after all. Who's going to need the, you know, the rabbis in the Midbar when you get into Eretz Yisrael?
Is that coming chief?
No, it means this idea. The same thing that happens, that's why Yosef tells the brothers, Miraglimatan. What a crazy thing to say. But it's not. He's pointing out, you're such idiots. You knew, basically, that we're going to be going down to Egypt, right? That was a Kabbalah, B.I.M. They're going to be V'avadun, V'nuotam. You see that we're headed there. So who's the guy that's going to be able to help you out in Egypt? Joe! So what do? Get rid of Joe. That maybe will delay the inevitable. That's amazing. The same thing happens today with religious people. They don't, what do? They'll go after a poor guy like Slifkin. Slifkin, this very nice fellow wrote some books of very gentle scientific facts to try to get Yeshiva Bochurim to know a little bit about nature and so on. You know, so in recognizing that this whole vision, this whole creationist Mishagas is going down the tube. So who do you got to get rid of? The people that can help you to understand why it's not a problem for you. Now, those are the guys we got to kill. It's exactly the same kind of psychology. And you hold on more and more to what doesn't work. The more you see it doesn't work, it has to be. Willing need to invest more into it because you become terrified. Like, now what? What am I going to do? Very strange phenomena. So the same thing the Gemara is identifying here. That's the difference. A bimus, okay, you can let go. Mizbeach, harder to let go. The getchka itself, forget about it. We'll fight over the pieces. Exactly. Oved kochavim mevatel avodat kochavim shelo v'shel chaviro v'Yisrael eino mevatel avodat kochavim shel oved kochavim. Amevatel avodat kochavim mevatel meshamshea. But if only betel meshamshea meshamshim mutarim v'yasur am. Matni la Rebbe la Rebbe Shimon Berei oved kochavim mevatel avodat kochavim shelo v'shel chaviro. Amele Rebbe shanit alana b'yaldutcha oved kochavim mevatel avodat kochavim Avodat Koravim Shalom Vishal Yisrael. Why, well, that's not possible, says Yisrael. Mika Mavatla, it's a posik for some basatik. Omer Hill, Breda Rabbi Valis, what he meant was Shalom Vishal Yisrael Bishutafut. So Bialduto Maikasav Ziknuto Maikasav Bialduto Savar. Yisrael really couldn't care less. It's a dated Ovid Koravim Polak. If the Ovid Kochavim is Mevatel, so then an Avshe, Yisrael Nami Mevatel. Beziknuto Sober, Yisrael Adati, an Avshe, Polak. Ki Mevatel, Ovid Kochavim, an Avshe, the Yisrael Obato. Ikin about the law, what Revala said over here, Asefa. The Yisrael Enim Mevatel, Avadat Kochavim, Shalovid Kochavim. And we said, Pshita, and on their Amr Bilbered Revala's, Lo Nitzchel, Sheish Lavashuta Food, Kamashvan, the Yisrael, who the law Mevatel. The Ovid Kochavim, but the Ovid Kochavim, the Nafshe, could be Mevatel as Chelek. Ika, the Matilon, yet a third possibility on the brighter, Shimon Menashe Omer, Avodat Kochavim, She Yisrael, Ein La Betela, Olamit. What's this Olamit? Amir Abil, Breda Ravalis. That means to tell you that Lon Yisrael, She Yisrael, Avodat Kochavim, Bashut Afut, and even so, it's nonetheless, meaning Olamit, in any world, Kamashman Yisrael died to Nafshe Polach, and the Goy cannot be Mevatel, that Chelek. Ketzad Mevatel, it could be Katar Rosh Hazna, Rosh Chotma, Rosh Etzba'a, for that matter, even if Bechasa Alfa Pishloch Yisrael at all, it was Mevatel. If Rak Befanea, or Ishtin Befanea, or Girara through the mud, or Zorak Batatsoa, that's nothing. Eina Betela. Mecharam Mishkena, Rebbe Amar Bitel, Vachachamim Omrim, Lo Bitel. How is Pechasa work if he wasn't Mechasar b'may bitla? Omer Abizera Pechasa b'faneah, so it lost its tzura. Rokak b'faneah, hishtin b'faneah, minonim yili. Omer Chisya, it's a posik. It says, Vayaki yir av, v'itkatsef kilel b'malko b'elohav, ufana l'mala. And what do you think? That now he's ready to be a mensch. The next day is it's k'tibat revel eretz yabit v'dein tzorav ha-chashikah. Meaning, Afa gav de kilel makov elahav ufana lamala. Bottom line is, eretz yabit. Michara o meshkana, Rebbe omer bitel. Ziri omer yochanan, Rebbe Yirmi omer av, chad omer machloke betzoref akum. Aval betzoref Yisrael, divrei Yaakov bitel. His nose is going to be melted down. V'chad omer betzoref Yisrael machloket. Iboyle, do you mean betzoref Yisrael machloket only? Whereas the Tzoref Oved Kochavim, everybody would agree to Lo Bitel? Or do you mean even Betzoref Yisroel Machloket, Bebezeh, Bebezeh? Well, Toshma. Diyomar Rebbe, Nirin Devarai, Kishemachrala Chavala, and Nirin Devarai Chavirai, Shemachrala Ovda. So now, what do you think that means? Chavala and Ovda means what? Chavala Mamash, Ovda means to the church, Ovda Mamash. How could there be a Machloket about that? My time in Amandel Rebbe Tel, or my time in Amandel Lo Bitel, respectively. Ela lav, lechavala just means l'misha atid lechavala. In other words, to a tzoref Yisrael. It's assumed. Lo'ovda l'misha atid lo'ovda manu tzoref hakun. But, I mean, they're arguing across the board. Rebbe's just discussing where it appears more likely that the shita is correct. So, shema mina bein bezeh bein bezeh machloket, right? No. Hachikama, perhaps. Omar Rebbe near in devarai, meaning even lechaverai. Kishemachra lechavala, meaning if we're sold to a tzoref Yisrael, because even the Rabbanan lo nech lekuol ayala kishemachra lo da. That's where we have the machloket. But if it was sold to Yisrael, they'd be moded. Meitvin. Halokeh gruta ot min avdei kochavim umatza behem avodat kochavim. Imat shelo natan ma'ot mashach. So yachzir. But if he already paid, then it's bad news. Yolich le'am ha-melech. So now, yamit bishloma. Bitzoref Yisrael machloket. So many rabbanim. Eliyam bitzoref akum machloket. But bitzoref Yisrael divrei akol bitel. So then, who's the one that got a problem over here? A Jew buys a truckload of junk, including a getchka. It's not a getchka anymore. It's just part of a truckload of junk. It was mevatelin. Now shani atem da daite de gruta odzavi. He never sold it, thinking about the yoshka in it. Even in that case, only, I would say, well, he figures he'll be paying back, bringing it back home. If he's not doing anything about recovering it, therefore, tzricha. On the other hand, if it even said both those cases, if it's not flawed, I'm not pulled, I would say, Mishum de Sova, well, you know, it's still there. Kol mitabinala, shakilnala. On the other hand, if Ganhuel is steam, if you don't chase them with a posse right now, you'll never recover it. Sivin lokamahadar abat rabitula batla, tsricha. And if we even knew that case, I would say, okay, that's Mishum de Sova. Look, who could have been the masked bandit? If it was an Oved Kochavim, I mean, he's not going to, what's he going to do? He's going to worship it. If he's a Jew, Shakla, either to the male Yekorim, he's going to end up selling it to the church either way. So therefore, he still believes. If they didn't bother taking along their icon, obviously they were Mevatlet. So therefore, tells us even there. Now, when you say, I didn't even understand what you're talking about. They never made it back home. They disappeared. Meaning, Mechemet Yoshua, ma'adahada. Halkama. Ima tidim lachzor areyuke Mechemet Yoshua. That's what it means. Ve'la betela. So why mention Mechemet Yoshua? It's just a silly reference. Lama le lebetela Mechemet Yoshua. Ah. It's actually brilliant. Mil dagavurche kamashma. Now, how do we know that? Omar Rabbi Elazar, which is Merumah's year in Melchemet Yoshua, Kitchilah Shel Eretz Yisrael, the Omar Rachmana Ashrem Tisfum Be'esh. Now let me ask you something. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews. Yerushalayim Lahem Me'avotehem. How could somebody also Davar Sheino Shelo? V'mishum Anach Mikora. So bring along an Akum Mimavatalit. Must be that since Balki Yisrael Egel, they were already Megaladat, that they don't mind, they enjoy Avodat Kochavim. In which case, when the Goy comes and he does something to the Asherats, as if it's on the das of a Jew, so Shlichuta to do Avde. Therefore, I say, Afinam Yisrael Shizakav Leveda, Goy Yadaiti to Nechle Avodat Kochavim. Now the Goy comes on with Polachla. It's as if Shlifuteka of it. How do you know that? I mean, maybe it's only the Egel that Echlu. I mean, does that mean they liked every piece of garbage in the Eretz Kenan? Mimidiach min elo? Not true. Amakra elo Elohecha Yisrael. Malami, Shivul Elohu Tarbe, whatever they would have been able to get away with. Ema called the Bahari Egel Nitzru, but from that point on forwards in history, when they came to realize how stupid the Egel was, maybe Lishtere. Nu maybe, but man mucha. Avodat kochavim shirichua ovdea b'sha'at shalom muteret b'sha'at milchama asura. B'musiyot shal melachim, arelun mutarot, b'vdei shema'amidim ota b'sha'at shal melachim ovrim. Omer b'yom ha'barav ha'omer rav, you should know that Beit Nimrod is as if avodat kochavim shirichua ovdea b'sha'at shalom. And it's mutar. Even though the truth is, you would think, that Kiafagav the Chibad Rino Rachamona Keshat Milchama Adami. That's sort of an imposed solution. But nonetheless, I mean, Yiboril Mahadar Hadar, they could have. Midalo Hadar, clearly Betuli Batha. Bimusio Shamalachim Arela Mutarot. Bimichim Ipnesham Amidim Ota. Bisha'a Shamalachim Ovrim Mutarim. Omer Rabba Barbachanam Rabbi Yochanan Kiyama. Bimnesham Amidim Ota. Bisha'a Shamalachim Ovrim. Umalachim Menichim Derech Zuvokim Derech Acherim. How about you can't do that? Rabbi Shmuel Amrit Avayu Bimush Nivgam Asur. That's only the actual Getchke, the Zilaba Milton Miflach Shvarim. Avohai Loichpatle. Omar Lei. Oh, man Yaivla Miaf Rabbi Shmuel. Malinu Neinayim. But we follow the Psak of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Amrit Avayu Bimush Shinivgam Mutar. That's only if it was an actual idol. They give him the Paul Chazila by Milton of Vetula. Avalhani, Shaklila, you might be Musachrina. I mean, it's only a polished stone. Tanik about the Rabbi Yochanan Reshlokish, Bimus Shinivgam Mutar, a Mizbeach Shinivgam Asura Shinatez Rubo. Hekidami Bimus, Hekidami Mizbeach, Omer Vyakabarid, Omer Yochanan Bibus Evanachat, Mizbeach Avanim Harbe. Omar Chizki, my crop, Sumoko, Lavdei, Mizbeach, Kavnei, Girmenu, Patsot, Lo Yakumu, Asherim, Vekamanim. Yika, Kavnei, Girmenu, Patsot, then, Lo Yakumu, Asherim, Vekamanim. But he loved, Yakum. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. So we're holding in the middle of Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph. So the last thing that we learned was that if the goy spit at his avodah zarah, urinated over his avodah zarah, he still views it as a god. Minani mile, how do we know that that's true and it's not considered to be a bitzel? Amar chizke, di amar kro, the hayak yir av, the itkatzeif, this guy who worships idols can get hungry and get angry, and then vikilel b'malko b'lohav, he'll get angry at the king and at the Lord. Ufaral amalan, at that point he will turn his face upwards to the heaven, to Hashem. Nonetheless, the next pasuk says, Ve'el aretz yabit, he'll look down to the earth, v'netzara v'chashecha, that means that after he gets over his anger and things turn good, he doesn't now say, it was worthwhile turning to Hashem. But on the contrary, he turns back to his avodah zarah. So you see the afa gav dekilel malko ve'elav, so you see that even though he went through this process of being disgusted and angry and cursing and so on, and even though he turns to Hashem, nonetheless, he still will come back to looking at the earth, which is part of our
experience of the way that people may understand something for a moment and recognize the truth, and it takes them 10 minutes to forget, to go back to the way they were. Machrao Mishkenah. So here we have a question of exactly the machlokas between Rebbe, who holds that it's a bittul to sell an avodah zarah, and the Chachamim who hold it's not a bittul. It's not clear who it is that it was sold to, or who it is that it was mimushkan to. So the Iri Amr of Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba quote Rav saying the opposite. We don't know exactly which one said which. Chan omer machloket bitzoreif ovid kochavim avo bitzoreif Yisrael divrei hakol bitel. So one of them holds, the only machlokes Rebbe in the Chachamim, is where the one that you sold it to was a smithy who was a goy. And therefore there's a tzad that even though you sell it to him, you figure if he's a religious man, he's not going to melt down an icon, he'll probably worship it. But if it was sold to a Jew, avo bitzoreif Yisrael divrei hakol bitel, everybody would be made of that. Selling it to a Jew, you know that the guy's going to melt it down. So clearly, you don't care that he melts it down, and that itself is an act of bittul. But Chadama, the other says, no, it's quite to the contrary. But Tzareif Yisrael machloket. The only machloket over here is even if you sell it to a Jewish smithy. And we'll see why. Set you by a little. But Tzareif Yisrael machloket. Abo Tzareif Ovetko Chavim Dibre Akol Lo Bitel. When you're saying that the machloket is Tzareif Yisrael, does that mean that everybody agrees that if it's sold to a guy who is a smith, that for sure he's not mavatalit? Or is he adding? He's saying even Bitzarev Israel is the machloket, but also by a Bitzarev guy. Tashma, let's take a look at the Bryce and see if we can determine that. Yomar Rebbe, Rebbe says, Nirin Dvarai, what I said seems to be accurate. Kishim Machra, when he sold it lechavala, and we'll see what that means in a moment, where he sold it for its ruination, and near in apparently divrei chaverai, seems to be an implication, and yet my friends seem to be right when the case was that you sold it to la'ovda, for somebody who's going to worship it. Now, I ask you what those words chavala and ovda mean. Mai lechavala umai la'ovda. I mean, if you learn that it means literally, lechavala means lechavala mamish. In other words, you were selling it for the express purpose of its being melted down to make a sports car. And la'ovda means you're selling it for the express purpose that somebody should use this to worship. La'ovda mamash. That's crazy. I mean, how could we be arguing? My time in the mandyamar bitel, my time in the mandyamar lo bitel. I mean, neither position makes sense consistently over here. Because, I mean, why in the world a guy who sells his own icon to someone else who promises to respect it and worship it, that should be a bittul. And somebody who sells it to someone with the express purpose of melting it down and ruining it, that should be low bittul. What could they be arguing in? Ella, we have to say, Ella lav l'chavalah, when it says l'chavalah, doesn't mean that I know for a fact that it's l'chavalah, but I should have assumed that it's l'chavalah, meaning l'misha atid l'chavalah, the kind of person that's going to wreck it. Umanu tzareif Yisrael. That refers to a Jewish smithy. We have to assume that he's going to tear the thing apart. And when it says law of God, it doesn't mean somebody with the understanding that he will worship it, but someone that we're going to assume. L'misha atid law of God. Somebody that's probably going to worship it. Umanu, that would be a reference to a tzoreif akum. I have to assume. In which case, if he's saying, well, my approach seems to be correct in the circumstances A, and their approach seems to be correct in circumstance B, obviously they're arguing about circumstances. So apparently, Shmamina, Bein Bezeu, Bein Bezeu Machloket. They're arguing whether we're talking about a Tzareif Hakum or a Tzareif Yisrael. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe the meaning of Rebbe's statement was like this. Okay, come on. Omar Rebbe, near Indvarai, not near Indvarai, to onlookers. People will undoubtedly agree with me. But rather, Nirin Dvarai Lechaverai, undoubtedly, my friends would have agreed if Machra Lechavalah was sold to a Yisrael, because after all, Ap Chaverai Lo Nech Lekualai, Elokisha Machra Lo Da, they never would have argued about this. They were only arguing if it was sold to a non-Jew. If they sold it to a Jew, they would have agreed to me all along. But the second, you'll notice that the Rashi points out that we're not just saying this stam, because when Rebbe says, Nir'in Dvarai, look at his words, Nir'in Dvarai Kishem Machra L'Chavala. Normally statements like that continue. V'Nir'in Dvarai, but you say Nir'in twice. Nir'in A to B, and Nir'in B to A. But over here, look how he leaves out the Nir'in in the second one. So Mash, we're talking about two different things. The first part is Nir'in Dvarai, indeed L'Chavirai. But then when it says, and, Divrei Chaverai, that means, and the public could agree to Divrei Chaverai in such a thing. Not that I agree to them, because that's where I'm arguing. So he's coming out to define what the machlokas would be. Basically, we ask from the following, it says, a guy goes into a junk dealer, and he buys a pile of busted up metal. In the busted up metal, he finds an icon. If he hasn't paid yet, but he's already taken it, he can give it back. Because the didn't is, of course, that when it's a goy, you're not kona unless you actually pay for it by an akum, so you can give it back to the goy. You haven't been mabato. You can tell him, I don't buy the icons. Icons, piece of garbage. And then he'll be mabato. But if you already had paid for it and you took it, so then already is nothing you can do, and yolich liyam amelach, you've got now, even though of course technically speaking it was a mekach ta'ut, because I mean you never would have bought it if you would have known that there was an icon in it, but nonetheless this is the type of mekach ta'ut when it comes to avodas kochavim, in which all along throughout the mesechta we say that it's oster, because it looks like when you take it, he takes it back from you and gives it back your money, it looks like you're making a sale. So for you to hand over, after you've already given the money, he has to hand you back the money, and you hand over an icon, that already we don't accept. And that's the real reason why there's a difference between mashach and no mashach, because ultimately the whole thing is a mistake. And sales are not binding when they're mistakes.
And what happens if the boy your shader with diamonds, and I buy it for half price to say it's a tokabi,
I would recommend giving it to Lucy in the sky under those circumstances and make something immortal out of it. So said to the Gemara, how money, so if you're going to tell me it's talking about, now let's analyze the case. Your case is, we have to wait till we know a lot more. I'm still ignorant. You're too challenging. So now, if you're going to tell me that they're arguing about a Tzaref Yisrael. Okay, so then this case would represent the Shita then of the Rabbanan, and we would say that, look, if you're talking about a case in which you didn't take it, so that you didn't pay for it, so then you can give it back and so on. But if you're going to tell me that the Machlokas is Gufa in a Tzaref Oveko Chavim, but by a Tzaref Yisrael, he sold it, knowing that he's selling it to a Jew, right? I'm a Jew. I'm buying it for him. And you're saying I have to give it back if I didn't pay for it. I have to give it back. And he's going to be mevatel it. I understand. The very fact that he sold it means that he was mevatel it. What do I have to be worrying b'chalal about Yolus Ana Alif Liyam HaMelech? So then you're going to tell me, Divrei Yaakov Bitel. So who sheet is this? This is a junk dealer. The junk dealer sold it. Shiny husband, Adaiti the glue to oats. I mean, Adaiti the avodas kochavim knows it. Anyway, the junk dealer knows it. He got a pile of junk, put it through the grinder. I mean, he doesn't know what's in there. So he's selling anything in his junk. But Inokinami, if he would know that there was an icon, he wouldn't have sold it to me, perhaps, and therefore it's not bought to him. What we're talking about is where the guy took it, an avodas kochavim, and he sold it to me. In that case, he has to assume that I am going to break it down. Again, if you hold that that's our assumption. If Lamaisa Yustaina, that even when it comes to a Tzarev Yisrael, that it's still going to remain awesome, the Swara would be, as we saw earlier, that his assumption is if the Jew can make money on it, why would he break it down? He could sell it to the church and make more money. And that's your case. There we go. All we have to do is wait. No, it's not. It's that everybody in this Daf Yomi is ahead of the Gemara all the time. It's a problem we have. And you know, the Gemara is never allowed to develop itself because they're too sophisticated on what we should do.
She was working in scrapyard.
Tanu Rabbana. Lava Oleha. Or Shanafla Aleha Mapolet. Suppose somebody uses this, goes to a pawn shop, and he gives the guy in the pawn shop his beautiful little icon. He borrows money based on that icon. The Jew owns the pawn shop. Or a building falls on it. The guy doesn't do a darn thing. Building falls on it. He's not going to rescue his icon. Or Shaganvu Listim. Or it was stolen and he doesn't call the police. Or for that matter, the people move. They have no intention of coming back. And they leave it behind. They don't pack it up. So imatidim lachzor, if the intent was to come back, kimilchemet Yehoshua, which doesn't make any sense at all, you might say, what? What is Yehoshua after the place made in China? But secondly, milchemet Yehoshua, they thought they were coming back. I mean, that's like the Arab refugees. Wait a minute, they thought, why did they think they were coming back? This is a classic remez. Right? We're coming back. Incredible. Yeah. So then, ain't avetela. And we need all of these cases, the truth is, even though we'll see later on at the sugya. Right now it's not nogea, but it actually says ein abetela olamit is apparently the correct gersa, and that's Tosfos gersa, and that's going to raise a lot of issues later. But right now let's just talk about what's important to us is ein abetela. We need all of these cases, you know, the pawning it, or the collapse of the building over it, or the leaving it, and so on. Because let's say we would have started with the case of pawning it, lova alel. So I would say maybe in that case, since I didn't relinquish my rights to it. I could have sold it if I wanted the money and not to worry about it. I didn't sell it. So apparently I do want it back. Okay, so over there I would say, in that case, if I didn't sell it, so I wasn't involved. But maybe Naflala Mapolet, a building that collapses over it, and I don't care about that. Midaloka Mafani Lof, I don't attempt to rescue the poor suffering icon. Same of the Tule Papa. I would say in that case, perhaps he was Mavata. Therefore, those two cases, let's say I would have said that case. Itana Nafla Lal Mapolet. I would have said, okay, fine, you know, Hamanachat, it's there. I mean, what, I have to adopt rescue it right now. I'll rescue it next year when my friend with the bulldozer comes around. I can take care of that at any time I want. But, I mean, if it was stolen, the guy knows he's got a very small window of opportunity to pursue the gun of him and to call the police, and he doesn't do anything about it. Apparently, he doesn't care. So then in that case, if he doesn't care to look for it, apparently, he indeed was mevatel in his mind. Therefore, we need those cases. Furthermore, they would have known the case of the robbery. The guy says to himself, you know, look, if it's a guy that stole it, what do I have to worry about? I mean, obviously he's going to steal it in order to worship it. I mean, so that's fine. I mean, the shame shemayim, it's okay, right? So he's chucking his bachel. If a Jew took it, what do you think the Jew's going to break it up? Are you crazy? The Jews are out for money. He's going to find somebody who's going to pay him good money for it. So I did the dami ayakar, and Mazman alavadis kachavim apolavim. He's going to find a member of the clergy that will pay him good money to take it into the church. So that's not my problem. So over there, of course, he doesn't mevatel. But just leaving it around and walking out of town and not thinking about taking it along, because you didn't take it with you, I would have thought, but that's clearly a sign of a bitul. And therefore, tzricha, we need to have these cases. Now, what is this business? Imatidim lachzor, kibachemet Yehoshua. Ain of a tailor, meaning the Chemet Yehoshua, whose plans was it to return after the Chemet Yehoshua that we should make such a weird comment? No. Okay, comment. It meant to say, Im Atidim Lachzor, then Arehu Kim Milchemet Yehoshua Ve'in Labitela. Just like at Milchemet Yehoshua, the Torah says you have to wipe everything out. So then here too, it's the same as Milchemet Yehoshua, and it's not both. Oh, come on. I mean, so then Lama Lelamit, we'll see about this in a moment. The Lama Lelamit Lyo Bimachemet Yehoshua. you're bringing this weird metaphor for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I wonder, what does it have to do with Muhammad Yoshua to say? Because it wants to teach me something, you see. Milta Agaburka Kamashu. It's coming to teach me a very important halacha, that indeed the things that were there at Muhammad Yoshua are not batal. Why aren't they batal? For the same reason that we found earlier, Reb Yudam Arav said that a Yisrael who takes a brick and he puts it up to worship. And he never worships it. The guy comes along, we ended up saying was the case, and the guy worships it. That over there, bo v'tachav yishtachavela, that it becomes aser. But it's not his brick. So how do we know that a guy can aser in that case? Amar Rabbi Elazar kitchila shel Eretz Yisrael. It's like the original invasion of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says, v'ashrei hem tisrafun be'esh. Why is it ashrei hem tisrafun be'esh? Well, who can have the power to aser our products on us? Do we or do we not own Eretz Yisrael? Simichli. Let me think about this for a moment. Yerusha hi lahem mi'avoteihem. We know that Eretz Yisrael is a Yerusha to Yisrael, as was given to Avram. It's a v'chet minim. That means that the goyim who come afterwards are basically unable to ask for something that doesn't belong to them, right? We always said that. If you're going to tell me that the problem in Eretz Yisrael that it says, and when you find the Asherah, burn it with the fire. That, well, maybe that's exactly it. So maybe that's only referring to Yimishum Hanach de Miyikara. Maybe you're referring to trees that were there before giving Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. That can't be, because then they're Goyish Asherim. Why should we burn them? We have a simple solution. Hold a gun to some guy's head. We saw before that you can even force him to go and be Mavatel. Have him be Mavatel, the Asherah. And great. You have the use of all of these trees. Why should you burn it up and ruin the land?
So the Gemara is trying to figure out how much we can't assume all that voters are in Asherah
or Buffalo. Let's wait to see what they're doing something surprising here in the Gemara. So they could have been Mavatel. Ella, I'll tell you, there's only one solution as to why everything in Eretz Yisrael needed to be burned. Anything that was worshipped needed to be burned. Why? Because when the Jews worshipped the Egel, they showed, basically, that they're in favor of idol worship. So if they're in favor of idol worship, so then that means that anybody who worshipped an idol can be taken to essentially doing like a shlichut for the Israel, he's Mecha. So in this case, says Rabbi Yudam Arav, that's exactly what I'm saying. A Jew goes, takes up a stupid brick, puts it up to worship, he doesn't worship it. Guy comes along and he worships it. So the guy says, well, I saw the Jew put it up in this fashion and make it look so pretty. He drew a little face on it, you know. So I figured, man, if this isn't God, I don't know what is. So therefore I couldn't resist. So he worshiped it. You saw those little smiley faces all over him. So therefore, I come to the same conclusion. It was if the Jews' worship of the ego imply that a goy can now aser something in Eretz Yisrael, so then that means that a Jew's setup of a levena is the same idea. He's allowing the goy to worship his thing. So goli adataya denechlu b'avodat kochavim. In which case, kiyatu avdei kochavim shlichuta didu avdei. When the guy comes along, it doesn't mean literally shlichut. I mean, first of all, in shlichut, but in other words, for all intents and purposes, what he's doing is being done al baitei be Yisrael. Therefore, I say, my halacha is, hakinami, Yisrael shezakaf leveina, gal yadaitei denech lebevodat kochavim. Once he puts that leveina up, he's showing that, as far as he's concerned, it's a nice idea to do avodat kochavim. Comes along now the guy, v'chiyata avodat kochavim upalachla, then for all intents and purposes, we could say, shlichuta dedeka avid, that he was doing what Israel wanted. Now, our obvious question is, I mean, the fact that we worship the ego means that we're interested in asherahs and baals and God only knows what. I mean, how do you jump to that conclusion? Es the gemara v'dilma v'egalu d'nechalu v'miri achrin alon. Maybe we worship the ego, but that doesn't mean that we're ready to now countenance every type of Avodah Zorah. Amar kro eile Elohecha Yisrael. That means these are your gods. Malamichi Ivula Elohut Harbe. This means that in doing this maisa, it was an expression of a desire for many gods. Anything that anybody could come up with, basically. Because once you've taken the step down that slippery slope of projection, there's no limits. So, but maybe that when we name it called Vahadiego, Nitzru, Mikan Ve'elach Nishtre, but fine, this is an interesting explanation. But, I mean, maybe we should say that only those Asherot that existed at the time of the Maisa Egel were now included in the Yisra of Asherot. But where the worship took place earlier, and then it wasn't worshipped afterwards, so then it should be Mutter. So it's Gemara, yeah, maybe it should be. Man Mucha, who's going to prove that this one was there but not worshipped after the time of the Egel? I mean, you're right. If theoretically you knew this tree was never worshipped from the time of the Maisa Egel, it's an old tree and nobody worshipped it since 50 years before, then you could use the tree. But who's to say? They didn't know about archaeologists in those days that could simply look at a tree and say it's clear that this is a fourth strata tree and therefore couldn't have been worshipped before the Egel. Shalom. Of course.
All the trees in
Eretz
Israel?
No. Asheros. Well, we find some, yeah. Didn't become theirs, but they did with our willingness to agree to it. It's ours. And therefore, there's nothing we can do because. Yeah, Asherah means the place where they worship the Asherah, as the Gemara discussed earlier.
No, it's not the Asherah is there.
They can't own an Asherah.
My question.
Right. Well, but the oldest sequoias actually lived at the time of Avram. Not sequoias, but the oldest scraggly pines lived at the time of Avram Avinu. And they're still living.
Really?
Yeah. The oldest trees on earth lived at the time that Avram Avinu lived.
Where are they?
They're the
ants.
They're the
ants. Oh, really?
I don't know.
No, not
redwoods. Not red. The redwoods are not as old.
That's why they're all gone.
So, are you prepared?
Avodat
kochavim sheinichua ovdeh b'sha'at shalom. And Avodat kochavim that the worshipper simply left it with no intent of returning, didn't bother taking it along with them on their trip at a time of peace, not when they were under tremendous pressure to get out fast. That's mutar, b'sha'at milchama. But if they had to run, it doesn't prove that they have given up, and then asura. B'misiyot shel melachim, this is a fascinating halacha. What they would do is they would put up these bamot, basically a flat stone with a nice base. And then if a king was passing by, they would do a little public relations effort, and they would put a getchka on this thing so that when the king comes by, he could bow down to all the local getchkas, and that would garner support. It's essentially a public relations kind of effort. And those things are actually mutarot, says the Mishnah, because they only put them up at the time that the malachim pass by, and they have to put it up over there, but they're not really put up for actual worship on an ongoing basis. So the Gemara is going to ask, so what kind of heter is that? And it's going to be machadish, the concept of public relations, essentially.
Did you have to put a sign for each establishment?
That's for me.
Right.
Rav
Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav. Beit Nimrod, which is the Migdal Bavel itself, Hareyu ki avadat kochavim sheinichua ovdeh b'shat shalom umutar. That is the equivalent of an idol that the goyim left, even though it was time of peace. Now, how do you think it's time of peace? I mean, they had a pretty rough time at the time, didn't they? Well, because avachav dechibadvinu rachmona kishatzil chamadami. Even though you could say, yeah, but I mean, God scattered them, and that was a disaster. Nonetheless, what prevented them from ever coming back? And Ebola ahead of they could have come back and rebuilt it and made it look nice and worshipped it again, right? So Midaloha, there's nobody ever did that, and all it became was an archaeology site. So Bituli Batl, obviously, they don't care and believe in what it represents any longer. B'misiyot shel melachim hareyelu mutarot. Now these platforms that are used as the king goes by are mutar. So why? Just because they're used only at that time, therefore they're mutter. I mean, they're used for a very important use. The king should bow down to it. Why did I make a mutter? What it's saying is this. Since the only intent over here is to put them up if the king will come by and worship it. And very often what happens is, there's a change in schedule at the last minute. The king decides to make another road, doesn't come this road. So what if you prepared in half $1 million to put flags up all along the way? So nobody could care less. So fine, then they don't come. So the malachim are menichim derech zu. Lochim b'derech acheret. I mean, you know how good it is to invest in a pit stop joint along a highway when the government's going to build a highway around the back, because they decided it's easier to have the road straightened that way. Okay, so therefore, the church figures when they do this kind of thing. Look, it's a PR effort, you gotta do it, But as soon as the king doesn't show up, obviously, they would never use it, they have no interest in it. Okay, so that proves that there's no real concern for using this for Avodah Zarah.
So it's only the ones that he's
Yes. And no. I mean, it depends how you learn the sugya. There are those who learn that way. From Rashi, it's Mashpelah, he learns that way. But since the Malach himself is Mavatla, the other thing cares, they also don't care. But the other way of learning the sugya is that it was never meant as a serious Avodah Zarah anyway. Clearly, if the guy could change his mind at any point, that's just a public relations effort. So, okay, they know the king is supposed to show as he goes by that he cares on some level for these local gods that way. It's like Saddam Hussein putting Allah Akbar on the flag. He wasn't fooling anybody, but that's what you do for the public.
You might destroy the Maupassant. So the Pope has to travel from Rome to Firenze, and there's a cardinal. If one day before he brings to all the villages and says, you have to sound the bell when the Pope passes. Then it's the village, and he says, you have to sound the bell. And he says, no, I won't sound the bell. What you are the I don't know. Why are you the by the way, why are you the we are fools,
you
don't have that.
Right. Not that I know. Now one time Ula came and he sat himself down on a bimsa pegima. He put himself down on one of these bamot that are meant for the goy to put the Avodah Zarah on. But it had been broken. So apparently they assumed he was relying on the fact that it was broken, and he held it wasn't us. Amalei Rabbi Yudalulma, what kind of hetzer is that? I mean, Rav and Shmuel both agreed, the Amrit Arvayu, Bimus Shenivgam is nonetheless Asur. And we're talking about a regular Bimus, nonetheless Asur. And not only that, perhaps you're relying on the sheet of the Mandiyama who holds that when something is broken, it's no longer worship. No, because Afilu the Mandiyama, what Rav and Shmuel were Mechadish, is that even according to the one who holds that Ein Ovdim Lishvarim, which we saw earlier a number of times, that we don't worship, Goyim don't worship broken pieces, that's only the idol, an icon they don't worship. I mean, it's low class for them to go and to worship little broken pieces. I mean, okay, so there they want a whole idol. But what, the bummer that it's put on, you think they care that much? It has a hole in it. Okay, fine, it's fine. They don't care about the bummer itself, and they'll still worship it. So Ula said, Amalei, ay, man yayv lan mi'afa de Rav Shmuel amal inayin. I wouldn't want to chas for sholem to indicate any lack of respect. Rav and Shmuel, their dust of their bodies would shine my eyes. But I do happen to know that Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, both parts, in the Amitav Bible. Bimushinivgam mutar. As a matter of fact, they said the exact opposite. They said if there's any type of crack in the bimus, which it loses something, it's mutar, even according to the Mandi Amar, who holds that they do avodat hashvar. Exact opposite of what you said. Because their logic was, hani mile avodat kochavim, the kivan de palcha, zilaba milsud vitula. Look, I mean, it feels to be very low class to turn your back on a poor Yashka that had a toe broken off Nebuch. I mean, you know, after you already invested so much emotionally into this thing, you know, you're not going to just turn your back on it. But that's the icon itself. But if you're talking about the stone that's the base to put the idol on, honey, shock and loser, they throw this out. They'll bring another one. And therefore, since this one is broken, I have a right to sit on it and assume that it was muvatal. And indeed, Kanya Kavasid Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, we do see in a brisa exactly what Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish says, that bimus and ivgan is mutar. A bimus, which consists, as we'll see, of a stone, which is the base, that's mutar, but a mizbeach shivgan. If you have a mizbeach on which you don't place a geshka, but you put the various takrovet, the things that you're bringing to the getchka, that is tashmishe avodis kochavim. And even if it gets broken, it's aser achin that takes rubo unless most of it has been smashed. By the way, what do we mean by the terms bimus and the term mizbeach? I mean, what's the difference between them? Hechi dami bimus vehechi dami mizbeach. How do we know what we're looking at? How do we know? You know, the archaeologists look at things. It depends what they had for breakfast, whether this thing is now the Mizbeach, this thing is the place in which it is. There a simon that we can know? Amrei Yaakov Baridi, Amrei Yochanan. A bimus is an even achat. The definition of bimus means a single stone, and a single stone was essentially used for being mimed the Ovid Yochavor as a Mizbeach, as a vanim arbe. And to put together a lot of stones, that wasn't done as a amud, that was done in order to sacrifice. No, the thing itself is one thing. Yeah. Omar Chizkia, Omar Kroh. It says Chizkia, you know, my Kroh, what's the pasuk that tells me that this is a Mizbeach, and a Mizbeach is many stones that will only be us when it's completely crushed? Because it says, Bisumu Kol Avnei Mizbeach. Apparently there's Vreni Avoni. Like avnei gir, which are easy to chop, break it, and just breaks it to pieces. Lo yakumu asherim v'chavanim, and no longer will the way we normally understand the pasuk, no longer will there be the asherot and the sun icons, which I understand to mean, says Chizkia, that if the Mizbeach has reached the point at which it is completely shattered, like Avnei Gir Menupatzot, then lo yakumu asherim v'chamanim. At that point, then you no longer have to worry about this thing being used to be mekim in the sense of the belief of asher lo yakim es divrei Torah zot v'havdil elef havdolos means to do hagba, to hold it up as something kosher. So here too, nobody will worship it to make it kosher. But on the other hand, v'ilo yakumu, but if v'ilav rather yakumu, but if not, and if it's not kavne gir benufatzot, if it's not tiny pieces, it hasn't been mostly broken up, then yakumu indeed, the chamanim will still be worshipped on these stones.
But sometimes they'll worship a stone itself.
When it's used together with the Akum.
When it's used
together with the Akum. With the Avodah, with the Akum. Mm-hmm. So this is not the...
There's a lot of stone.
Right.
Stone. Mm-hmm.
Around it?
Both of you, no, like in Timna. Have you ever been in Timna? So, yeah.
No, this is...
And they presented to us as the Avodah Zarah that they were worshipping. Well,
the actual Bama. I mean, the Gemara says before that the Bama is worshipped because it's worshipped together with the.
So the idols.
They worship the Bama as well.
They might have held up idols which are no longer there.
Right, and the assumption is with a Bama, and a Bama is worshipped until such time, and it continues to be worshipped even if the Akum is not on it. But if it's broken, that's the machlokas over here, whether you hold Ovdim Lishvarim or not. and the implications of that machlokas for a bomb as well. So in one shita was saying it's worse, and one shita was saying it's even better. So there's no deal.
Archaeologists can explain how Avos is not recognized in the stay after 3 years.
Why?
It's giving, it's not similar to anything, it's not canonized. It's not,
what do you mean? It looks like. Oh, Anhar Eval, not the one by Don.
And then he gave a shear in the Rosh Chodesh Shomron about this object that he had found, and somebody brought him the Kata Mishnayis and so on. The drawing was in the Mizbeach of Bayit Sheni, where there's a Kevesh and a silver.
But all Mizbeach said that. All the pictures I've seen.
The number of steps.
Yeah, but they had that three-tiered shape and everything.
But this had a ramp leading up, and you didn't recognize
it.
He didn't recognize
it. It was in two stages with a walkway around. And he has become, he's from Hashem Mitzvah, but he's become the key biblical proponent in those circles.
What's his name?
Adam Zartown. He's even ostracized now in some of the former circles.
Because he learned the Gemara.
Because Yeshua is obviously just made up, and here you see that we have Yeshua, so that changes the whole.